Welcome to Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Kallebach. With me, Josh Nichols.
Hello, hello, hello.
From the Self-Indulgent Podcast.
That's me.
What, the Gestapo leader at Stages Theater? Wait, there was a takeover. Wasn't there a corporate takeover
it was,
of the lobby control?
It was a storyline gimmick we did where one of our players took over, like had a hostile takeover of our company, and we did a month of like more like where he messed with our show formats. Uh-huh. It was good. It was just a gimmick, like a wrestling style gimmick.
So you are actually in control.
I am the co-owner of Spectacles Improv Engine. Yeah,
and that performs at Stages Theater.
That performs at Stages Theater. Yeah, that's our home.
So what exactly are your power? What does that give you?
I have my jobs in the company, which is a coach. I'm also a big part of running the Improv Festival and the Improv Cup. Also, with my partner, Matt Thomas, we come up with like our creative direction, our marketing schemes, and, obviously I have like final say over rosters. Mm-hmm. But I've never really led with an iron hand. I try and come to a consensus so everyone agrees. It's not about me leveling my power or anything. It's more about creating an environment where people feel like they can be honest and they get the situation they want.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I try and do.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so it's I think synthesizing two like really popular things, which I think improv is very popular and wrestling, I think trying to find a gentle balance of that could be very successful. We're still working on it, but
so you just kind of like the build up and the storylines in improv, like
yeah.
You're using the kind of motifs that wrestling gives.
That's like the dressing, you know, for some of the things we do, some of our special events. But really, it comes down to just having good content.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really proud of our content, but yeah, you want to in order to engage an audience, which certainly WWE does more than anybody. They fucking engage an audience. In order to engage an audience, you have to come up with storylines or things that they can, people they like,
and
or
feuds between the players themselves.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Interesting. So you're also the co-host of the Self-Indulgent Podcast.
Yeah.
Now on that show, it's kind of like Opie and Anthony. People smoke salvia.
I'm still in the sheep.
We're both very Howard Stern influenced people. We both love radio.
Uh-huh.
We both have always wanted to be into radio. It was really kismet that we ended up that we ever met, or that I found out he had a show. Really happy with the way it's going. But yeah, we're trying new antics. He's really good at coming up with antics of stunts and shit that get people interested. More storyline type stuff, you know. Definitely some wrestling ideas in it, you know.
Uh-uh. Well, speaking of wrestling, you broke a chair.
Yeah. I'm going to claim it was rickety, but I'm certainly fat. So I was laughing really hard at something, and the
Were
chair
you
just...
leaning back?
Or... So... Oh, yeah. Oh, shit. Josh just went down.
I was probably leaning back a little bit. It was just like a really hard chuckle, you know, which I'm apt to do, and the fucking thing just disintegrated underneath
me. You got the wavelength of the chair. Like, every bridge has a wavelength of wind to go through where it starts to get wobbly. Your chuckle just must have reverberated the wreck it's upon.
Yeah, and it didn't break in a bolt or anything. A bolt didn't come loose. Like, I shattered wood. Like, wood sheared,
right.
You know. Like, I really broke a chair.
So, since then, you've said that you're dieting since this chair incident.
Well, I'd actually been dieting a little bit before, since November 15th, but yeah, that's definitely another incident that said, why haven't I been dieting earlier?
So that was another impetus. So how's that going? You look a little thinner.
I've lost 30 pounds.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
Did the holidays set you back a bit? Or?
The holidays were tough. I definitely plateaued in the holidays, but you have to pick, this is how I view it. If I'm going to cheat on my diet, it better be with something fucking amazing. And so, like, a lot of the holiday food in my family is good, so I go, this is worth cheating on my diet. I'm not cheating on my diet for fucking McDonald's or, you know, shitty food that's bad for me. So every other time I eat...
At least home-cooked meals.
Home-cooked meals, I will eat what is prepared for me. I'm not a, you know, I'm not an animal. You know,
so like, what have you been doing exactly? What's your strategy in dieting?
All calories based. I'm only eating less calories than I'm doing. I'm not worrying about carbs or any of that horseshit.
Just eat fucking less.
There's this awesome study. This guy, a Kansas State nutritionalist, ate nothing but ding dongs, essentially ding dongs and Doritos chips, and he lost weight. And all of his health stats were great. It's just a matter of losing weight is good for you. Being fat is terrible for you. And so I was like, if he could do it with ding dongs, then I could eat this less calories and I'll do better too.
We we've had a feud.
Yeah, we did, dude.
There was on the podcast, the Self Indulgent Podcast. I come on and I like to mix it up.
Yeah.
Like you were saying with your improv, you like to have wrestling based, a lot of feud storylines. You know, I'm also from Jersey, and I'm not mentally balanced perfectly, you know, and so when I get into feuds, you know, I like to really, I get fired up.
As a matter of fact.
So if I dramatized it, then you would believe it happened. All I would have to do is just act it out, and that means it happened.
I heard you did improv. I guess I was wrong. And then
by Thursday, it was like 16.
Right.
Is it just because you live next to those lakes?
I have no clue what it is for. You know, big
this, this does go on the internet forever, okay? So, like, talking local weather is irrelevant to everybody. So let's start the fucking show here.
Nelson Riley, or who am I thinking of?
Like, I don't know
the
Nelson
alien from the alien from American Dad. Mm. You get a touch of that.
Yeah, I love listening to you try and figure out references. That's great. Rambling. Look, let's start the fucking show, okay?
Is your wife your sugar mama, kind of?
I'd say essentially, yeah. I couldn't do what I do without her support.
Yeah, you do improv for a living.
Yeah, essentially. Well, I produce. Here's the thing. I always draw a line because I don't get paid to perform. I get paid to produce.
Like put on shows.
Yeah, I get theaters. That's what essentially. And to coach. In fact, I make way more money coaching than I do actually producing.
Oh,
so,
nice.
Which is awesome. So if you need an improv coach, hit me up.
All right, so you guys.
Yeah, I think it's like unfair because of the sweet loving that Josh gives. It's almost like he's giving more. Like even though she's like taking care of some of the bills and stuff, like he is in there. You know what I mean? So it's not even. He's giving her way more dick than she's giving him cash.
Right. You are giving her many orgasms. Apparently,
I think if we were counting, well, here's the thing: they happen so quick and so often that I don't have to put so much work in.
Right.
You know.
You're robbing their blind. If to afford that kind of street meat on the regular, you know what I mean? The amount of cash you would have to produce. So, like, if you look at the street value of that, the hog he's got, you know what I mean? Just
sure.
Because for me, I come from the tradition of Opie and Anthony and stuff, and these guys, like, they talk mad shit on each other.
Yeah.
And so I guess what I'm saying is the only thing I care about when I get on a podcast is that it's entertaining.
I don't
care about other people's feelings in the moment of recording whatsoever. And that's my issue for sure, because I just will say the most depraved thing.
Sure.
Because my parents also, you know, are kind of completely insane and say incredibly horrible things to each other all the time. And so, you know, I wasn't raised with the best, I don't know, I'm saying I'm like giving a soliloquy as to how our feud started.
I'm flattered.
Do you feel...
I enjoy the attention.
God.
Okay, he has a full erection now from the attention, but that is a side effect of the treatment.
Can I talk about the size of my erection? Because that would make me feel better right now.
It seems to have not worked.
But, you know, anyway, that's my side of the story.
No, dude, like my side of the story is I thought like I totally understand what you're doing, but like I said it like on Self-Indulgent, like we should have a rapport before we get into that. You know what I mean? Where I feel like, oh, okay, let's get into this, but like it came out of nowhere, so like I responded. I responded from a point of view of, like, how do I win this? As opposed to, like, let's do the best we can with this.
Right, right.
Because, like, I felt like... And one of the things, too, is you said that that I was talking too much and shit. You know what I mean? That was something I was concerned with. I was sensitive to it. You know what I mean? So, like, I would, like, argue more about it.
So Josh rubs you the wrong way. Is that what you're saying?
Well... I just, like, who was the fucking guest last week? Greg something? He said, like, four paragraphs. Like,
Graham?
If you took his clips together.
Greg something?
Yeah. What was his name?
Graham.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't hear him talk the whole time, you know?
So I didn't want him to.
Did you feel like you had to come on here and just, you have to be loud and verbose now? Is that what you feel like?
I feel like I have to give the people what they want. And clearly, you know, science tells us one thing, and that is that he's
glad
a bragger.
That science has turned its eye on me.
That's true.
And it's, again, I can't help but feel like this self-fulfilling prophecy to do all this work about me and then wonder why I think all things are about me. The things I don't give a shit about are like whatever. You can say whatever you want. You know, like you say I brag a lot or whatever. That was one of the bits or something.
Right, right.
Like that doesn't bother me because I know I admit to a lot of horrible shit about me too that is obviously not braggadocious in any way whatsoever. But Yeah, so like that was kind of bugging me, but for the most part, I was like, how do I win this? And I felt the best way to win it when we're having that feud was just to be like above it. So that's what I did. And that's, it was nothing personal, man. Like, it's just part of, like, I try and be entertaining too, and I was just trying to be in that way, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And also, last episode, I really went after Mark Chester.
Yeah, give me a beer. And then I bring it in. What? No bottle? It's just a can?
Yeah, there's a lot of BPAs, BPMs, and cans. Oh, it's like a chemical. I read medical journals.
Okay, this is my favorite part. Because he goes, can I have a beer? Okay, you're at your house, you're relaxing.
This is a different episode before his liver was healthified. Yeah, this is a previous episode.
So he's like, oh, I'll take a beer. And then you're like, here you go, here's a beer. Okay, he didn't bring any beer. He's asking you as a, you know, mooch.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, not that, it's in a can. Well, fucking 90% of beers come in cans. You know what I mean? How about you? If you want a gluten-free fucking organic beer so you can have organic shits every time, like, how about you bring it instead of begging and then complain?
I agree.
See what I'm saying?
Listen, I've been saying this about Chester the whole time. He's a pious asshole.
But then after all that, after I said all those horrible things about Mark Chester that, you know, other people seem to agree with. Anyway, but I gave him a phone call and I said, hey, are we cool? I just want to make sure everything's cool while I'm doing this for the podcast, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, so I just wanted to also have that chat with you, like, you know.
You did write me afterwards where you were like, you know, hey, man, this is for the show and everything.
Right, right.
And I got that, and that was cool. But then you included that note that I was sensitive about, that I talked too much on the show and shit, which I shouldn't be admitting, but I am.
Is it? I think that issue has been brought up a few times
by
other people.
Well, it's definitely been brought up to, because those people know that I'm sensitive to it, so now they're being dicks. But yeah, I do definitely talk more than, because it used to just be Sean,
right.
And so it was just Sean, and Andy's not someone that talks a lot on it.
Right.
So it definitely changed the dynamic when I came on, because I am fucking verbose and a blowhard.
But I felt like the show used to be Sean would interview the guests, and then the guests would do 60% of the talking.
Yeah.
And then when you got on, it was like the guests started doing 20. Like, especially Graham Bechtel, I think, isn't it? When he got on, he really didn't say anything.
Yeah,
I'm sorry,
yeah.
But that's, he didn't.
I'm not.
And also that blonde chick, I forget her name, who you had on recently.
Oh, Jessica Euler?
Was 20.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, Jessica Euler didn't say anything in her episode.
No.
So, you know, I'm not coming after you, but you know what, you know.
Well, those two people, we got away from Graham because Graham had like about one interesting story.
Right.
And this is something Sean and I had talked about. Like, okay. We have like pre-meetings, you know what I mean? So Graham had like one interesting story. We kind of got that out, and then we're just going to move on and make it conversational.
Right, right.
Jessica Euler, I think the world of, is a really nervous like little rabbit. You know what I mean? Like, and there's a predator nearby.
Right.
So she's not a chatter to begin with.
Who's the predator?
Just everyone in the world. Like, if you listen to more, like, she just, one time, she says that she's so nervous and awkward because someone waved at her, and it wasn't really waving at her, but she thought they were, and that was, like, the origin of all of it. She's a fucking amazing improviser, by the way. She's just not someone, you have to pry with her. And if you listen to the interview, we were pulling teeth just to get more out of her
Just be like, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah,
and
so
then stop.
At a certain point, we stopped pulling teeth and we're like, okay, well, let's just start talking, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. We both have tremendous egos and we're both sensitive and emotional.
We can barely fit in this car.
Because you know, our heads are so big. And, you know, I was just worried that I would get on the show and it would be like I wouldn't get any bits in. And I like to obviously be fucking prepared and know what I'm doing.
Sure,
you know?
Do bring bits, brother. You definitely do.
So, okay, so that's just, we're both giant egomaniacs, and, you know.
I won't deny that. I'm a verbose blowhard, and, yes.
And I made a bragging montage, so if anyone's like, why is Ari saying that Josh Nichols brags? Let's listen to that.
Oh, yeah.
And Andy T has some cute clips. Let's hear him not bragging, right? A couple little cute clips, right?
Right, right, right.
Andy, I'm fat.
There we go.
I'm really fat. I'm going to die young.
Okay, so there's a couple little
clips. That's a very
clips.
Cute sentiment.
It's cute. There's little clips of him not bragging.
Right.
Well, I was with UCLA at the psych ward. I correspond. They
You're bragging now.
Okay.
What are you doing at the psych ward?
They like to pick my brain, you know. I offer them advice and stuff. They came up with this new technology, actually, based on braggers like yourself, and they developed a brag per minute chart, and you're like one of the biggest braggers in the country.
So people at UCLA are studying me. Can I brag about that?
Well,
because I think that's a little neat.
Well, here's so they developed a treatment for this.
Oh,
to cure people and take them down a notch off bragging incessantly. Okay?
Right. Okay.
It's called the Christmas Carol treatment, and how it works is, they confront you with all the every time you were mean to people in the past, every time that you were bragging, you know, they confront you with your own ugliness all at once. They shoot it in your face.
Okay.
And you're psychologically taken down a notch. Okay. So everyone who wants to hear Josh Nichols taken down a notch with the Christmas Carol treatment developed at UCLA.
Did you bring this
treatment?
Something
was developed by Charles Dickens.
Yeah, this is, so track one, Josh.
Oh, this is the clips he's brought. Okay, so yeah, he brought some clips.
Okay, well, I'm looking, you know what? My life is unmanageable. I want to change.
Right.
So I'm open to your...
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm open to your treatment.
Thank you. So
okay, go ahead.
Now, the side effect is it could cause a seizure. Because it's gonna really defragment your ego and take it down and not
it's
you know,
strobe
so.
Lights.
But for everybody else listening, it'll just be a learning experience for them. It's safe to the listeners. It might make Josh's head explode.
Can we get back to weather talk?
We're gonna listen to these clips. I was told not to listen to these, so I haven't heard them either. So here we go. I'm not sure what we're in store for.
Just relax.
She wants my shit. I can clog toilets not with toilet paper, but with actual product. I will say this, at a recent trip to AMC, I did clog up an industrial toilet. The ones with like jet engine suction. But I'm gonna get some bitches. It tasted my own semen. I got like 10, 12 bitches. It's impossible to hate me. No condom, baby. I could change a tire.
I could get you off, Josh. I'll offer my beehole for you.
People bring me back like snacks to eat. I drank a bottle and into the next bottle of tequila. But I was fine because I knew how to do it.
Our company, Josh is like a god. Josh is not as crazy as he seems. He's like a 33-year-old man living at home.
This isn't me.
Don't. Oh, it's all about you. This is therapy. Shut up.
Take it in.
I've never been constipated in my life. I choose to live a Christian life. Put that finger up my motherfucking butt.
No, you're not that popular, Josh. Don't be yourself.
I've given 1,000 hand jobs. I'd rather have a kid than wear a condom.
Stop bragging, dude. See, Josh is a bragger.
I am blessed. I can make my wife come like... She's orgasm blowing me. Extensive foreplay.
Every statement you make has to be prefaced with either, this is going to be me, sound like I'm bragging.
That's not my job to entertain you.
Joshua Nichols here. Listen to him cry and then brag about John Dong.
It's kind of my thing.
These podcasts, I get to speak my mind all the time. I get to wave my fucking fat dick around supposedly. Fucking true.
But I have to suffer through other people's points of view on shit. Camp experience, because I like spreading mirth and joy.
You have the comedians on, you have people from Cherry Spitz on, like, I fucking love it as a listener, you know, and sometimes I just feel like Josh Nichols, you know what, not everybody wants to hear you talk the whole fucking time.
She only cares about me now. I'm glad that a woman is so turned on by me that they think about my fat dick. I'm here to be funny. I did stand-up last night.
Yeah. Stand-up comedy? I thought you said you don't do stand-up.
I have done it. I was almost against my will. Like, there's a bunch of people like, do it, do it, do it. Bragging.
All right, it's not about you right now, Josh.
There's a bunch of people like, do it, do it, do it.
Does Josh prep a list of brags for every show?
Like, the time I was with my girlfriend's sister, they were like, no, man, she was all over you. I get messages from people going, keep doing it. So I'm bragging. I'll have to stop bragging.
Ah, shit. It's going off now.
Yeah. But, okay. So, anyway, I also talked about on the podcast before that I've been to a shaman. Oh. You know, and I've now I'm trying to be more nice to people. You know, I'm from Jersey, and that's almost like a diagnosis that like I start shit with people, and like, you know, I'm crazy and, you know, fist pump. That's the diagnosis. I'm just from Jersey. That's how people are. But I went to a shaman to cure that, and you know, let's listen to his advice for me.
Where you feel like you're coming from a place of manipulation. Place of spite or anger. In every circumstance in which you find yourself, whether alone or with others, You allow yourself to relax and concentrate your mind automatically. No matter what you are doing, you find that more and more, day by day, whenever you sense the fear of failure, or you sense that you're motivated from spite or anger, you relax and you concentrate your mind.
I've been mentioning about how my parents are crazy and they say crazy shit to them. A lot of times you say that your mom kind of like emotionally blackmails you and gets very sensitive. And so kind of, do you want to talk about any of that stuff? Because you kind of brush, I see it's like the tip of the iceberg what you say about it on the Self-Indulgent Podcast. And
I have to hold a little bit back for so you'll keep me around. But yeah, like essentially my mother, who I think really is like 80% of the time, just a fucking glorious saint who's giving and caring and loving and thinks only of other people. But she has this insecurity because her mother essentially abandoned her. And so she has this insecurity. And when she's in that mode, and I think I can get in this mode too. Thank God she kind of has to deal with it, because then I see it and I go, I need to be better. I can't fall into this. You know, I see how it affects other people.
Right.
Where she's just really not reasonable. She's not irrational or reasonable. She can get a victim mentality a little bit. And she'll really lash out in really ugly ways.
How does that manifest in the holidays? What happened? Well, we just had Christmas. We just had Thanksgiving. How did that go?
She's okay over the holidays for this particular holiday because my nephews were in town. But, like, there's been times where she just, like, will come over and she's decorating for holidays and she's crying. Because she'll be like, her house looks like a fucking magazine.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like everything's in its place. It's like Christmas, like, it's amazing. It's very tastefully done. It's all really well done. She's fucking great at it. But she'll just be crying and be like, my house is fucking ugly. It's horrible. People judge me when they come over. You know, she's very... Aww. She's kind of the opposite of me in a lot of ways. Like, I definitely can be insecure about how people view me. But she is really swept up into how she is viewed.
Right.
And that's just not healthy. You know, I've done I definitely have a touch of it from her. But it's just in an unhealthy place, man. And so, like, there's been a lot of times where she just can't be reasoned with for very bizarre things, and it gets ugly. There's no middle ground. It is, like, she's fucking amazing, or she's like, you fucking kick me in the teeth, you piece of shit. You know what I mean? There's no in between there. And when she gets into that place, you just fucking... I just stop. I tell her... This is, and as I've aged, I've realized, okay, you're, like, I know you don't want to hear this, but you're in one of these moods. I'm just going to hang up, and we will talk, like, in a couple weeks. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's what I do now, and it's been so much better since I realized that there's just no engaging.
You kind of have to, like, been doing this recently of, like, going through longer stretches of not talking to them, because you realize, like, all your stuff that's going on in your head is kind of making it difficult to talk to you. And, like, you need other hobbies other than offloading. Like, that's what I tell my parents all the time. It's like, I can't be, like, the first point of contact with you in the outside. Like, you need to talk to more people so that before I'd, like, be interested in talking to you. Because otherwise, you're just some crazy person in your house alone. Like, it's too much, you know?
And you got skin in the game. It's hard for you just to be, like, a sounding board. You know what I mean? Because you have information, and you're part of the family.
And you're still mad at them from shit they did to you as a kid. And you're like, what the fuck, man? Now I'm your therapist, too? It's like, go outside, man.
My family's not... They don't... I get most of my shit out on the air or in other way, or on improv, on stage, certainly. My family's, we don't talk. There's no, like I've said before on Self-Indulgent, my dad is like faking being a human. I think he's like,
what does that mean? Is he a sociopath?
I think sort of. I think like it hasn't manifested in like a negative way really, but you can tell that he just does what he thinks he should be doing. You know, like it's not like, you know, he tells things all the time. Like he doesn't dream. He's never had a dream. He doesn't understand the concept of a soul. He can't even wrap his mind around how there's anything other than just his body. And then, I'm not even religiously proselytizing to him or anything. It's just that's how he says. you can see how he studies situations and then just tries to behave in a manner he will not be judged or won't be noticed.
Right.
You know? And I can just tell. It took me 30-something years to realize, but I realized that he is just kind of faking being a human. It's kind of a weird... it's just a weird thing. He thinks he's just doing what he thinks he should be doing.
Because you're kind of like doing what you want to do with comedy, and you just see like you've never tried to do anything that would
culture you. There's no he doesn't have a passion.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think like so much of being a real human is like being passionate about something. My father has no passion for anything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He could take it or leave it. Like I think he could be in a white room and not complain. You know what I mean? Just sit there. There's benefits to that. You know what I mean? Because, like, he's never been like, you need to do this. You know, you need to do that. He's always worried about me fitting in, which is totally what his deal is. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Fitting in. And he's with my mom, who's so concerned about how people view her, that to them, they're both just swept up in this fitting in world. And I've just never fucking bothered.
Yeah,
you know, it's like what a headache. Like I've just seen the hell it's brought them.
Yeah, I went into Marshall's with my mom after Christmas to return some things, and she for things that she's like, "Don't embarrass me." While we walk into the Marshall's, I'm like, "What am I gonna do?" She's like, "Everybody knows me here. What am I gonna do, Ma?
Everybody knows me." I just think any like amount of energy you spend not being you is just fucking wasted. It's just radiation. Like, you know, people, like, I have a lot of weird quirks or whatever. You know, people spend so much fucking time wearing weird clothes and shit. I just think that's so much effort. Just be you. Like, you know, just all fucking right. Walk around the world like you instead of worrying so much.
Yeah. There's this video I came across on the internet that is, like, the most hilarious shit ever. I like watching people get knocked out. I like world star hip-hop. You see crazy street fights, people get knocked out.
Yeah.
I like underground videos. You see Kimbo Slice in a boatyard fist fighting over concrete.
It's like Street Fighter.
I love that shit. It's fucking crazy. It's chaos. Yeah. So there's this African, like, underground street fighting league where it's, like, African tribes. They just box each other. And it's a bunch of people, you know, sitting two rows deep and folding chairs, you know, watching and going, ah, you know. And there's this one fight where the guy got hit with an awful, like, right hook. He gets knocked out. And then his pit crew starts pouring water over him. And then another guy, like, starts jerking him off. He goes, reaches in his pants, under his underwear, starts jerking him off. And the guy who's in his pit crew is, like, has gold shit on him, like a big gold watch. Big gold walk, like necklace and stuff like this. He's not wearing like rubber gloves.
Yeah,
he's not he's like not like
not
a medical.
Concerned.
He's just some guy who's like, oh, I'm blinked out. You know, the ladies like me when I'm blinked out. All right, man, I just got to jerk you off. You got knocked out. Like, what is going on over there?
Like in boxing, they have the cut man. The guy's supposed to cure like the wounds and faces. This guy's like the cock man. He just fucking goes in. I'll work his cock.
I got the cock, guys.
Yeah.
But they say on the thing that this is traditional, and they think that after you get knocked out, if someone starts jerking you off, you know, you have a better chance of survival. I don't know if there's
survival.
Even if that was true, like, can you imagine if, like, boxing thing, they had to, like, put a fleshlight on the guy because that was, like, that was just medically proven.
Football player. Like, yeah, that's fucking bizarre, man.
He just gets, like, blown by some fat EMT worker, like, blah, blah. No, it's been medically proven that we got to do this.
That's fucking hilarious, man.
Even if that was true, like, the insurance companies wouldn't pay for
at
that.
At least get, like, a ring girl, right? I mean, like, at least get me, like, a hot chick. Who wants to wake up with this fucking dude? You look at the guys that are in the corner of boxing matches. I don't want any of these dudes to touch me at all, man.
Yeah. But also, you get knocked out and jerked off while unconscious. Like, that is a rough video to go around the internet.
A Pavlovian thing. Like, oh, please knock me out. It's the only way I can get an erection.
It's like you're in his town. Oh, you're Kerpuck? Yeah. I saw you get knocked out and then jerked off in a backyard, man.
They, like, put that in the stats. They're like, the reach, you know, the weight, the size of cock. Yeah, I just...
Recovery from jack-offs.
That helps with fucking rough sex, I guess. You know what I mean? Like, That's some NXS Michael Hutchins type shit or
okay.
whatever.
Now, also, I don't want to be racist, but how sexually open are the African Americans, you know? Do they have sex more than white people? Are they just,
I don't know.
Are they just DTF all the time with each other?
I don't know if they're more sexual or not. I haven't broke... I would say, like, if I'm going to make a racist statement about sex, I'd say, like, Latinos seem to be more down with it, man.
Oh, yeah?
Just because they're having...
They're fiery.
They're having a lot more kids, I guess. I don't know. Mormons maybe might like sex more. I don't know. My first was a Mormon, so there's that.
Oh, yeah.
I just think people that have a shit ton of
kids...
Well,
wait. Your first sex? I thought you just soaked.
Soaked. I'm at this point, I'm calling that sex. I inserted. You know what I mean?
But you didn't move around.
I didn't come or anything, but I did insert, you know? So that's what the soaking was. I thought it was weird. I didn't know what to call it because I don't know if it was sex, but I... Because
she's a Mormon. She didn't want to give her virginity, so she just let you soak up.
She just let me fucking put my dick in her vag. It was a bizarre... It was way too young, too.
So we're... You know, I don't want to give too much of the way of, you know, what I'm doing here, but, you know, smoking weed in the car. Do you feel a little high? Because you look a little glassy.
I'm certain I'm getting some kind of secondhand feeling of this. I don't smoke a ton of marijuana at all. I do on occasion, but I don't really.
Do you want some?
No, it's okay, brother. I gotta do improv the rest of the day.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm offering.
Yeah, no,
I help you out.
I like my temple to be as clean as possible. I am interested because I do think I am getting like a high through osmosis at this point. That maybe I could just fucking. We'll see how I perform the rest of the day. You know, just being in this environment. Like, I'm essentially in a hot boxed Honda. You know, like, yeah.
Hey, let's talk about some news stories.
Yeah.
Cargo of bananas caught in New Jersey legal limbo. You know, sometimes you ship a container of 110, tons of bananas, and then some lawyers get on the phone. They're like, whose bananas are these? Well, you know, what kind of customs office? And all of a sudden, you got a banana full in legal limbo, you know what I'm saying?
I'm just imagining it's a bunch of people like you, like, who the fuck are these bananas? Fuck this asshole. Yeah, just...
I'm taking a lunch break, and then a two-hour shit on overtime clock.
Yeah, I'm on golden time. Yeah, just a bunch of Union, New Jersey guys. Just fucking, I'm not touching those bananas.
Who's fucking... I don't know whose bananas these are.
Yeah, just all let right? them sit there.
Let them sit there. I'm going to take a shit on overtime. Who wants Pastrana? Me.
Yeah.
That's what's going on. So anyway, the Del Monte fresh produce, they're from Netherlands. They
Del Monte doesn't sound very Niederlish. Whatever the fuck you call someone from the Netherlands.
Del Monte? I don't know. It's just my accent. So it's $1.5 million of bananas, apparently. They were going from Brazil to Guatemala and then into Jersey. That's when it became a problem, you know. That's
the stop in Guatemala.
So Judge Robert Kuhler is getting involved, and he ordered them to be held in port until the two parties work out as a dispute, you know.
What the fuck? Like, this guy went to law school to talk about bananas? Just give them out. We have people hungry.
Can you imagine being a judge, and then they're like, all right, what's your thing on the banana case? Because these two people cannot work out who they...
Yeah, Del Monte versus New Jersey. Like, yeah, who the fuck? Just get him to the store. Figure it out later. Right,
yeah,
like what are they worried about? What are they worried about the bananas being coke? I don't understand.
And they're not going to be worth $1.5 million in a month of being in a fucking shipping container.
No, how green are these bananas?
Let's sell them.
Yeah, move the product.
Israeli woman appeals. This story is starting to make me anti-Semitic. Okay, because an Israeli woman. This is the news story. Okay. She wanted her son not to be circumcised.
Amen.
Okay? So, let's talk about circumcision before we talk about this. I'm circumcised.
So am I.
And, okay, I appreciate the fact that I'm circumcised because it makes my dick look glorious.
Okay.
I think that it makes it look aesthetically better, and I'm pleased that it happened. But if any mother out there does not want her son to be genitally mutilated, which is what it is,
yes,
she should have that right to say no.
Yes, I'm anti-circumcision. I am anti-just choose, but I do fucking fucked up that your mother can just mutilate your dick for no good reason.
Right.
Like, I know you're saying it looks good, but that's an aesthetic thing and subjective as far as I go.
I've talked to a lot of girls, 100% of them say... I'd like it better circumcised.
I think they're just used to it. I think they're just like,
right.
I think as time goes on, there's less and less circumcised people in our country, We're like one of the few countries that is as circumcised as we are. Most of the world isn't.
Right.
And they seem to be having babies fine.
People are just afraid that the penis becomes a hooded character.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know.
Trayvon Martin.
He got shot. Yeah. He was wearing a hoodie.
Yeah.
People don't like that look. It makes the dick look like a burglar, some kind of mysterious fellow.
Fair enough. Fair
enough. Now I'm hidden. Now I'm going to impregnate you. You know, it's just.
Yeah. But, you know, your dick looks like a burglar, too, when they throw a condom on it. You know what I mean? It looks like it's doing like a 7-Eleven robbery.
Right.
So yeah, it's fucking.
So you can't see its face; it'll be distorted just enough. So
yeah,
can't identify it.
Yeah, but I think I was watching this special on what they do to girls in India, and I'm not equating it, but I watched these girls in India. They'd be like, they take them and they chisel off their clitoris at female circumcision. It's like, oh my god, thank god I don't live in a country where we mutilate each other's, you know, we mutilate young children's crotches. And then I started thinking, holy shit, we do. I was fucking taking a knife to me completely against my will. There's all these fucking sensors, nerve endings in the fucking foreskin that are just gotten rid of. I'm a guy that personally has a hard time ejaculating, right? It's always been an issue in my life. I fucking totally chalk it up to the fact that they fucking circumcised me. I wish I had more nerve endings in my dick.
You've claimed that it's been a botched circumcision. Now, what does that mean?
I only say it's botched circumcision because I think they took off too much. That's all. Like, I think, like, I don't feel
aesthetically,
enough.
Aesthetically, you feel like there's
aesthetically, I feel...
There's some foreskin.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I'm just saying I think that, like, I don't even know what the process is. They must just cut off like a onion ring of it, and then and then the two pieces heal in between that.
Right.
I don't even fucking know what's going on, but I feel like maybe they just took it off and stretched a little too much for me or something. I don't feel like I have enough nerve endings in my dick. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm equating. So I call it a botched circumcision, mostly for
you. Maybe just like the way your dick is, most of the nerve endings were in the foreskin.
Right?
And nature's like, hey, he's got a foreskin, he'll be able to come.
What if I was like an X-Men, you know what I mean? And that was my power, that I had all these fucking nerve endings in my foreskin. That just essentially, I was removed of them.
Sliced.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the decision. So... there's two court systems in Israel. There's a rabbinical court, meaning rabbi, rabbinical court, but there's also this Israeli. So there's no Israeli ruling that says that she has to get him, but there's a rabbinical court. I don't know how
to say
that.
Which is like their religious court, I guess?
Yes.
Okay.
She was fined 500 shekels.
This sounds like a bad joke.
No, this is true, which equates to $142 a day until she got him circumcised.
Jesus.
Now, okay, the Jews are known for a couple things. Deli slicing, brises. What is with their thing? Like, no, we have to cut out 16 ounces of his foreskin with my deli slicer now. And then, and for five, she's shekels. She has to shekel out some cash
I didn't know that was a real. I didn't know that was a real like currency.
They're so Jewish that you get charged shekels if you're not fucking getting your kid a bris. That is, I don't want to be anti-Semitic. I love every Jewish person I've come across. What in the fuck is this shit?
No, that's why there needs to be some separation between church and state. She needs to go into that other court to get them overturned. That I imagine the other court is the secular court. Maybe.
Right.
That's where she needs to be. Why she submitted to rabbinical court is beyond me.
I guess if she wants to be Orthodox or whatever and have the...
Oh, I see.
I don't know. I'm guessing why she would be sanctioned to this court.
Well, look, if you sign up for a religion, then you sign up. I mean, you know, she can choose to not do it. If that's what it is, if she's opting in to this religion and they say that, then she signed up for it. She needs to unsign up for it.
Right.
You know, they get to determine their own rules. That's how I feel. I would just not sign up for it. If you don't want to fucking mutilate your kid's dick, then don't be Jewish, I guess.
Right.
You know, I'm...
If they're gonna be like, hey, listen, that's 500 shekels if you...
Fuck that, yeah. Who's gonna come... Who comes collects that?
Give me a schmeckle.
Yeah.
It's 500 shekels. All right?
I thought shekels sound like fucking clam
shells.
Like, why
do you want to grab this kid's cock so bad and just start chopping at it?
They can't sleep at night unless this kid's dick...
Imagine that's what you do every day. Every day I get a schmeckle. I cut a little bit off. And they suck on it afterward, too, for the blood. When the blood starts, they suck on it.
On the dick?
Yeah, man.
Oh, Jesus.
The super orthodox way.
This sounds so bad. It's Why so are we crazy. Doing this? Why are we doing this to our boys?
Why all these laws?
Like, look, like you believe...
God is not this litigious, okay? He made nature and...
if you believe in God, if you believe God created man, then he created the fucking foreskin too, right? Yeah. Did he not? Like, we don't need alterations on the way out. You know, like, this is what... If you believe that, then this is what it is, you know?
Good point. Yeah, the, I don't know.
We're getting... So, this is political.
Here's another story against the Jews. The Pittsburgh Rabbi... I love Jews.
Is this... If I ever run for office, is this going to be brought up that I was on this show?
This news story,
It's
know.
All this anti-Jewish shit.
It's not anti-Jewish. It's like, they should be able to not cut the kid's cock up. Because, let's face it, that's what they're doing. Okay?
Yeah.
I happen to have it. I like that fact I'm circumcised. But you should
be able to choose it. Yes. Like, you know, like, oh, I'm going to go get my hoodie taken off.
I was not asked, but, you know, hey, they did a good job on me. So anyway, Pittsburgh rabbi sued for severing penis during botch bris. So sometimes these brises go wrong, and, you know, because he's not a doctor, he's a rabbi. You know what I'm saying? He's just...
Sure.
Oh, it's so fucking crazy. Just thinking about doing it, how much pain you're inflicting on him.
Just and like there's people that show up like in nice dress to watch you cut the dick thing off. Like, so, I don't understand.
Pittsburgh Rabbi Mordecai Rosenberg is being I bet he's not Jewish. That's not a Jewish name.
Mordecai
is being sued for allegedly botching a bris by severing a newborn baby's penis during a sloppy circumcision at Tree Life Synagogue about eight months ago.
Sloppy circumcision.
According to the lawsuit, Rosenberg, who was a moil, severed the boy's penis to the extent that doctors need to perform an emergency microsurgery. He like probably chopped into the kid's tube.
Fucked up this kid's dick for his whole life. His whole life.
Ugh.
Is he drunk or what?
He's probably getting into a little too much Manischewitz before this. He's like, I've done 2,000 of these. I can handle my booze.
Yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't always work, says plastic surgeon Joe Lozzi. Told when you're reattaching a portion where you include nerves, sometimes the nerves don't heal well beyond where you reattached it. So there are limitations for sure. Yeah, sometimes when a 1-year-old baby has his cock cut open, you know, it doesn't heal so good. Taking a fucking razor blade to it.
It's a microsurgery. They just had to do a microsurgery. This is not, you know, like being a rabbi, you don't, like being a rabbi is like, how are you with the Lord? Great. And you also have to do this. It's not, the first thing they don't ask you is, are you good at surgery?
Right?
Like people that perform surgery are like doctors and go through school and they show some aptitude for it. But I imagine being a rabbi is just, you're a rabbi.
Do they like cut the peel off a banana, a couple times without touching the inside, you know? You got to get good at that. Pumpkin carving. That is definitely a skill that you cannot fuck up on
it
a
should
first
be,
timer.
It should be near the top of the list, you know? Just like, how are you good with cutting baby dick? Like, can you
it's
do this?
So crazy.
It is weird.
Have you also seen during a bar mitzvah that they like put all that leather, you know, thing of strap onto them with like, looks like a camera?
It's no.
Like they put just like wrap a giant thing of leather around the kid's arm during bar mitzvah before he has to make that Hebrew speech.
I'm 1/8 Jewish. I've never interacted with like any part of the Jewish part. You know what I mean? It's just like it's the ancestral kind of Jew, not the. So I've never been to a bar mitzvah. Don't they lift them up on chairs and shit too? And like, isn't that weird?
That's kind of fun though.
It seems fun, but it also seems really fucking dangerous. There's no seatbelt on a chair. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just a bunch of drunk people like lifting them up and shit. Like, how many times have people gotten hurt from this? You know, and by the way, like, you know, Jews not known as a strong breed. You know what I mean? They're not generally known as the athletic type, right? So, like, they're just all these people lifting.
And they're all lawyers, so they're all, like, watching really carefully exactly what injury, who dropped the chair.
Yeah. Oh, they have the affidavit. You'll be sued before the guy even hits the ground.
Wow. I'm just saying I should be charged a couple of schmeckles for this. Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Okay, so a sneaker with a human foot found in it was found on a Florida beach.
Oh, man.
So I'd be shocked if you were in Florida and a shoe washed up on shore that didn't have a fucking foot in it.
Is it a Cuban shoe?
A lot of people die in Florida over cocaine wars, whatever's going on.
Yeah.
So, you know.
You know what?
And it's always a hiker. It says a beachgoer taking a New Year's Day walk. Oh, what happens to them?
That's why I don't walk.
They find a shoe with a foot in it.
That's why I don't walk. In Vancouver, they found a bunch of... Oh, go ahead and finish the story, but I got a good story. I watched a whole special on these Vancouver shoes. A bunch of shoes kept washing up on this one beach with feet in them. And they tried to figure out what it was. They soon realized that it was suicide, people that were committing suicide off a bridge. They'd sink to the bottom, and then, like, crabs or whatever would eat them, right? And the first thing that'll become detached is a shoe would float. Certain models of shoe float.
Right.
Right? So, like, over the times of, like, the bottom-feeding things eating the corpse, the foot would break off and float to the surface, and then the currents would take it where it went. So they kept this one bridge, they kept finding feet at this one part of the beach.
Yeah, so too many kids are like, Nirvana! Oh my god, he's dead!
Yeah. Yeah. And they actually matched up a few feet to other shoes they found, you know? But, yeah, who knows what because the world's fucking weird, right? These could be, like, people trying to sneak in from Japan or something, you know, into Vancouver, and then, like, the guy just goes cut their feet off and throw them in the water or something. You know what I mean? Right. Like,
that could be
knows?
The cover story.
Yeah, who knows?
They don't want you to know about all the human trafficking.
There's a lot of fucked up shit going on in this world.
You sure you want
I'm not thirsty at all, cool. Brother. Thank you, man.
Yeah.
When you die, they put you in a fucking boat and burn you and... Which sounds like a great... I'm going to go that way. If possible, I would like to go that way.
A Viking funeral?
Well, I just want to be... I don't want to be put in a coffin. I just want to be gone. You know what I mean?
So, like, someone... They go to Bahamas, and they put your body in, like, some kind of wooden canoe, and then push it out to sea, and then shoot flaming arrows at it?
Yeah, sure. Well, they could burn the boat before I'm left. You know what I mean? They could get it going, and then just kick it. That's fine.
The flaming arrows is pretty cool, though.
No, that is badass, but I don't... You know, I just think of, like, finding an archer. Like, this is probably expensive. You know what I mean? I'm worried about...
Well, you have a bunch of arrows, and it's just a family member will do it.
Sure. Yeah, I guess everyone could take a shot at me. You know, just get, like, a cheap little dinghy, like, something, you know, that isn't too expensive.
Yeah.
Throw some kerosene on there and just fucking send me out, you know.
Yeah.
But old Vikings, they would take, like, a kid with them or something, or a young girl, like a virgin or whatever. Like, so they'd have a wife in the afterlife or something.
And then they would shoot the flaming arrows at her and...
They'd be on the boat, too.
Listen to her scream.
Yeah, and she would die. Yeah, it was part of their lore, I guess.
Whoa.
But I don't want to do that, but I would definitely like nothing left of me. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I want. I want nothing left of me.
Just because it just seems like the real estate of a grave over time, like, can everybody
get a plot
that you can't build on? Like, we're going to run out of land.
In the old days when it was just, like, probably throwing a body in the dirt, it's one thing. But now everyone's put, like, in this concrete thing, and then the coffin is placed inside that. You know what I mean? Like, it probably takes a while for nature to fucking get in there and take care of the matter that you're using.
But you can't use that space again because you'll get a poltergeist.
No,
you get a ghost.
Graveyards seem like something that can't last. Unless they just start throwing us in the desert where no one cares.
I think, and there's a lot of documentaries exposing, like, funeral homes that after a certain time they reuse the plots. You know?
Yeah, they just
they can resell
crush
them.
The bones and then put another thing in there. Yeah,
after 100 years when all the relatives aren't in the area anymore, they're like, fuck it, let's turn this grave plot over.
Yeah, I have an old high school buddy that started selling that stuff, and, like, right after he got that job, he, like, say, hey, let's go to lunch. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to be sold on this. I told him, and this is how I feel. I want to be cremated in some way. I just, you know.
Wait, so a friend of yours took you out to lunch to explain to you how you should be
cremated? Well, I don't want to assign that to him because I didn't really get into it. Because the second he brought it up, I said I want to be cremated. But me and my wife argue about it. You know what I mean? Because she wants me to be buried next to her, and I'd rather be cremated. So, like, after that happened, we just had lunch. So I don't know if it was a sales lunch, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if that's what he was doing. It was good to catch up with him.
So, wait, is he banking on you're going to die soon so we can cash in on this?
Well, they do. You essentially put money down on your plot and you pay for it.
Right.
So, you know, you take care of it so your family doesn't have to, that whole thing, you know what I mean?
Right.
You don't want to burden your family when you die, you know, that kind of shit. I totally could be cool with Nautical Society, I guess, where they just fuck, the Neptune Society, where they just throw you in the ocean.
Yeah.
You know, that's a great grave. You can see that I'm everywhere, right? You can fucking go to a beach and that's you seeing my grave.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I do like the concept of being cremated and then mixed in with like the soil of like a baby tree. And yeah. And you plant it somewhere and that tree grows, you know?
I know there's a Nirvana. Who's the guy? Kurt Cobain. He has, there's like a willow tree of him.
Oh, that's awesome.
That where like they put the ashes in the tree and.
I think that's fucking really cool because then you have a tree to visit. And look, and even if you cut it right. down and make something out of it, then I'm fucking that. You know what I mean? Like if mm-hmm. you want to, you know, you can put me in the house yeah. as like an armoire.
Like make a guitarist out of the tree.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be awesome.
Have a fucking.
Dude, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. They,
yeah, so. Fucking just throwing me in the ground, I just, that seems like my hell. You know, I don't want to do that. That's expensive shit too, man. Fucking coffins are thousands of dollars.
Naked man leads California police on rooftop chase. Now this is how I want to go. If I'm gonna go down for a ticket for indecent exposure, yeah. I'm gonna do some parkour shit to try to get out of that ticket. All right.
Yeah.
So this guy, I really applaud this guy. His name is John Redmond. He was going to serve an outstanding warrant for his arrest of stalking and drug-related charges. So he managed to escape another charge of, you know, indecent exposure mm-hmm. in a Valley Oaks district of Stockton, California.
Of course.
So they just try to bust him on all these warrants, and then they're like, police, and he's like, oh, shit, mm-hmm. runs out the door. And he gets to four rooftops before officers take him down.
Jesus.
That's pretty sweet, though.
You're saying, like, I don't know, parkour naked seems like I might snag my nuts on something. That just seems like you're playing with fire, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
catch one, your scrotum on a shingle.
Yeah, just one exposed little bolt or something like that. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Just fucking, too dangly.
Yeah, and you got so much momentum, it stays, you go. You know what I mean? I don't want any of that. That's
even,
fucking,
like, you know, Bushmen know this, and they have, like, you know, the little skirt that they skirt. Yeah, they have some
like a thong or some
loin cloth. They protect that area.
Yeah, because I bet you they fucking caught their sack in like rose bushes or something. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, I went hiking the other day, you know, and I'm all cut up from this shit.
Jesus.
But, you know, let me tell you something. I had jeans on, I had underwear, so my dick was good. But yeah, I did get stabbed by other branchy shit.
Yeah, could you imagine your sack being tugged on by like a rose thorn? Like, that's a fucking nightmare to me, man. Like,
yeah.
So, yeah, people are like in the house, man, yeah, I will get nude. I'm fucking fine with that. Outside the house, it just seems like you're walking on
Wait,
tinder
don't
ground.
You have kids? Do you ever walk around naked?
No. Not when my kids are there. Like,
right, when they go to school.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I'm excited, like, when my kids are over the night somewhere else, like, because then I know I can sleep nude. I can just hang out nude.
Right.
Know? The fucking clothes, dude.
So when you're a parent, when your kids are at a slumber party, is that like, oh, this is getting down time?
Yeah, this is like, it's fun time. We're going to get hammered. We're going to have, you know, we're going to do everything we don't get to normally do. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
Like, play, like, bad movies loud and shit, you know. Mm-hmm. Like that's the time to do it. That's, I think that's why parents like those sleepovers so much, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hey, so in the UK, you know, there's a bunch of government job websites like, hey, if you want to get a job, if you're on food stamps or whatever, what can you do? Mm-hmm. And a prostitution gig made it on there.
Like so a government prostitute?
Yeah, the government's like, hey, you know, if you want to be on the dole and collect this unemployment, you know, you got to sign up for some job websites or whatever. Like, and then they're like, well, you know, you could always suck some cock,
yeah.
Britain.
What if they told you no? Like, what if you like, oh, I'll do that dick sucking. And they're like, oh, let's see your picture. Yeah, the government is going to send you, once you sort mail.
The worst part was it said it gives you $16.57 per hour.
Wow.
With no experience necessary, but applicants must
actually,
like sex.
Yeah.
What is going on here? $16.57 an hour
yeah.
for selling your childly virtue?
I love that no experience necessary. Some things you want them to be experienced on, right? Like, if you're going to
pay
for a prostitute, let's, you know.
Is she going to be like, ew, put that thing away? Like, you know, she should have some experience.
Yeah, no. Like,
what is that?
You want a girl, if your girl's going to blow you for money, you want her to know what she's doing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you don't want to be training wheels for that.
You're paying for it.
But I guess sex is like a different thing. I don't know. No, I like experience there too, but then experience means like, oh, you've been with a fucking bunch of people. What a weird catch 22 to be in.
So a spokesman for the department said the ad was taken down after the day after it was posted. So it was on for 24 hours. And they were like, yeah, it's inappropriate, but when... But, you know, those are the jobs that have cash these days.
Yeah. You know? So is Britain have, like, legal prostitution, or...?
No.
No, okay, so it was a hoax.
No, it was a real... Yeah, I think it was an underground thing. Oh, okay. I don't know, you know, actually, I don't know if the UK has prostitution. Maybe in, like, some area, like Vegas, like, it's only...
Oh, at, like, we have a, yeah.
Maybe there's an area
for the... Bunny Ranch or something.
For the sluts and the whores. Yeah. Or they just all go to Europe to get... Or dude, Germany to get shit on over the weekend.
I think that, like, really ugly people are punished enough. Please let them go buy a blowjob. Like, what are we doing to them? It's already it's shitty life. Like, pretty people fucking have everything handed to them. Ugly people fucking are pushing a rock uphill their entire life.
Right.
Let them fucking throw some money down for a blowjob. Right. Like, why are you standing in the way of this?
And it's like drugs, alcohol. You can't put it, prohibition it, because it just goes underground. Then yeah. Now it's illegal, and now my hooker ain't getting tested. You know?
I think they should do, like, an In the Arms of an Angel ad of, like, a bunch of ugly people. It's, like, in, like, the number of sexual partners they've had. You know, it's, like, zero, like, a guy's crying. You know, let's start prostitution now, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, how the... What assholes? They're already ugly. It sucks being ugly, you know? It's fucking horrible. It's harder to get a good job, you know what I mean? Like... Yeah, I mean, obviously, like, I think this is going to expose some prejudices on my side. I think you'll get, like, better, like, a better girlfriend, because I think pretty women are fucking usually, like, incorrigibly evil. But just because their whole life has been handed to them, so they don't have to earn anything or, like, kowtow to anyone, you know what I mean? Yeah. And, like, being, like, having humility is a fucking huge thing in life.
Yeah.
And if you never are taught humility, you're fucking probably evil.
Yeah.
You know? And I think if you're taught too much humility, you're probably evil, too. You just want to be in that, like, you know, like, the middle ground of humility. So, yeah. Fucking whoever's listening to this and you're against prostitution, you're an asshole.
Well, yeah. It's just not practical. It's like, you know.
No, certainly not.
What do you think about robots? Do you think they're going to take over? You know, do you think when...
Oh, like we're going to be fucking robots?
Or like robot hookers?
No, I think that...
They already took... Robots already took the job of like cashiers at grocery stores. You know, yeah. Now you have to check out yourself. Then a robot is going to take the jobs of all the hookers, you know?
I will say that the Japanese are hard at work on this. And women better watch their P's and Q's because they are being worked on to be replaced.
Yeah.
I mean, I already feel that like girls' like marital aids are probably better than a guy's dick. You know what I mean? Like, they fucking vibrate and tickle this part and this area. You know what I mean? They never end. They're not going to get tired. They don't stop when they come. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of things. We've already been improved upon, right?
Right.
But the woman,
and a lot of girls are, like, busting their clitorises. You know, a giant black cock with a D-cell battery in it. Yeah. And that thing is hammering away at their shit. Yeah. Like, no human man can do that.
No, we can't live up to that.
We can't do that. And so then they, like, can't even come anymore unless there's, like, some kind of vibrating horse cock up
yeah.
the quad.
Yeah, so you have to, like... You have to start with that. You have to do, like, a half hour of just getting them ready anywhere near it.
Right.
I will say, dude, there's almost nothing better than, like, the soft skin of a breast. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, right. You know, all of that stuff that women have. But, like, I promise you, if they come up with a reasonable facsimile for some of that stuff, there will be a lot less shit will be taken from women, like, immediately. Be like, I don't need you.
You think they'll start acting right? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying they better. It's in their own best interest to stop being so nuts. Because I think, like, as men and women, like, I think men just check out in life. Like, they slowly just be like, where's my TV? I only care about this. The world can fade away. And right. Women just get nuttier and nuttier. Like, I think that's the algorithm that we have, you know, and you'll walk into, like, a household, like, older people, and the guy's just like, fucking, where's my game? I need to find new sports to watch. Oh, billiards, I'll watch this. While the woman is like, wah, da, 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 like, all over the house, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's what fucking happens in, like, a normal, like, hetero relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if that dude, like, that guy that's sitting there checked out doesn't need to deal with the fucking yappity-yap, and he can just put his dick, like, in some fucking arcade machine, and it's the best blowjob he ever had in his life. Yeah, I think it's going to affect some marriages.
Is it when you say women yappity-yap, well, I don't have to deal with the yappity-yap, do you mean that, like, what guys just sometimes need a lot of quiet time? You know what I mean? And that not a lot of girls, like, kind of base their day on how much attention they got, so they need to interrupt some of that quiet time.
Yeah, I definitely don't want to make, like, the statement I'm saying, like, all women. But, like, I think that, like, almost the default woman, or, like, what we call a standard woman, is definitely someone that wants, like, attention.
Right, right,
you know
right.
what I mean? Like, a lot of attention. And for men, and I think, like, there's all kinds of reasons for that. Socio or biology, like, all kinds of shit like that. I think we all crave certain things. Like, even, like, we're performers, right? So we fucking obviously crave attention.
Right.
You know what I mean? But they do, and I think, like, at first, like, when you first date, you're like, I'll give you fucking all kinds of attention. Here's flowers, you know what I mean? Where do you want to eat? Let's go where, you know what I mean? Right. And then at a certain point, you're like, let's just fucking get through the day. You know what I mean? I got one thing to look forward to that's Breaking Bad or whatever. You know what I mean? What do I got to do to get there?
Yeah. There's a much different relationship when you actually live with a person and they have to, like, instead of this kind of flashy, like, hey, let me take you out tonight and all this stuff.
Yeah.
It's like a reality sets in pretty quick.
Yeah, I think, like, women, like, want to connect. And I think men feel like we're connected now. You know what I mean? Like, this doesn't require maintenance. I think, honestly, like, I hate things that require maintenance. Right? I'm not saying, you know, like, I like a relationship that always needs to be, like, replenished or something. I feel like, man, this is a fucking headache. It's like those Yamaguchi toys or whatever.
You gotta figure out the pattern.
Yeah, so, like, oh, god damn it. But, like, I, you know, my wife is awesome. She definitely wants attention and stuff, and, like, there's issues with that. But, like, my wife's not crazy, which is fucking great.
Mm-hmm.
But I've just seen, I just watch these, just look at the old people in your life. Look at the older relationships in your life. And you just see that paradigm over and over and over again. Like, this guy's into something. He's passionate about something. Whether it's fucking sports or poker or some other weird shit. And the woman is just like, wah-da-da-da, you know, about that. And I don't know. Now I feel like the biggest misogynist asshole in the world.
By wah-da-da-da, you mean tries to interrupt that and just needs more attention than he needs.
Why do you love this more than me? Right, you know what I mean? Right. Let's talk about my day. Like, you know, tell me, you know, listen to what my sister did to me. You know, like, that kind of stuff. Like, they want to have, like, this emotional connection. The guy's like, we're already connected, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I've got you squared away. You know, like, it's a sad state of affairs, but I've seen this. Mm-hmm. I have empirical data on this. That's why I kind of feel like that's what kind of goes on. So that guy...
Do you think that this dynamic in the world we live in with Netflix and all this stuff, do you think that that's the algorithm of, like, alcoholism?
Yeah, certainly, whatever it could be. If it's going to the bar and drinking with the boys and that's what you do and that's your thing and then you become an alcoholic, yeah, that's fucking it, you know? But certainly, there's so many damn things pulling at our attention.
Right.
You know, like, and by the way, you don't have to leave the house. You can be in sweats, which I think is what all guys just want to fucking be home naked or in, like, really comfortable jockeys.
It just seems like we have all these creature comforts. Our house can be perfectly temperature all the time. We can have microwave meals. But somehow, like... We still have to work so much that we can barely, like, enjoy, like, a nice leather couch or whatever. Like, just being able to afford that is, like, you're never at that nice,
that's
comfy couch.
There's this old story, and I don't know where I heard it, but it's, like, a guy on a beach in Mexico playing guitar, and he's really good, you know, and, like, that's all he does all day, and he just does tips, and that's what he does, and he's living fine. A guy goes, oh, my God, you're fucking amazing. Here, let me sign you to your label or whatever, and he goes, and he gets that, and he gets really famous. You know what he does with all the money? He goes and fucking sits on a beach and plays guitar.
Right.
You know, he already had it.
Yeah.
He already had what he wanted. He just had accepted a life without, like, these comforts. You know, that he... But, yeah, you feel like you need a leather couch. You fucking don't. You just need a comfy bed. Yeah. I need, you know...
I saw this thing, I think it was, like, in Ecuador. This one poet, he lives on, like, $2,000 a year from residuals from his poetry. And just, like... He just has, like, a shack with a stove in the middle of the desert. And it's like, god damn. But, like, he would go to the local market and, like, get cheese and bread. And he would just make these pizzas on his stove. And it's like, wow. He just writes poetry and he gets himself a pizza every day. It's, like, simple.
It is. Well, and here's, and again, and I'm not blaming him for this because it's definitely the dudes. So many dudes get swept up in, I need to have a car so it'll attract women.
Right, right.
And I need to fucking wear these kind of clothes so it attracts women. Like, so much of what we do is about tricking someone into letting us put their dick in them.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, all this horse shit. And I think that guy's probably just resigned to, I will get laid or I won't get laid, so I'm going to own what I want to own and that's it.
Yeah, the biggest thing, my car is a complete piece of shit. It's got a giant crack in the windshield. Yeah. It's got, like, some... actually, I was recording with Sean Lewin, and this guy, like, threw a watermelon in a dumpster and sprayed all over my car. I still haven't fixed it from the hood, because I don't know what that would do for me to go to a thing and power wash that off. It's like baked onto my car.
You have like a layer of weed smoke and everything. Like a sedimentary layer of like, I can tell when you started smoking in this car.
Every time I can turn on the engine, like, you know, some secondary smoke will pop out the AC that is settled to the bottom.
You ever take this like Jiffy Lube and they pull out your filter and they go, this fucking thing is probably has a street value.
You can both smoke this right out the filter. Yeah, you can smoke this
filter.
Yeah. The guy who does my thing is just like giggling at cartoons. I'm like, dude, do your job. He's like, I don't know. I got confused while I was working on your car, man.
I didn't put oil in it. I forgot. Yeah, like my car is A to B, man. That's all I want.
Yeah.
It's just fucking, people get swept up into, I have to wear these kind of jeans.
When you have a BMW, then you have to power buff it out all the time. You have to like get armor all on the thing. And like, you're not, that thing works for you. You don't work for it, man.
Yeah.
Like, that thing is your bitch. You just make it go.
Exactly. Yeah, but unless that's your passion, is fucking cars, then sure, have at it.
Fuck a car.
Yeah. But cars are A to B, and that's it, man.
Yeah.
I don't get swept up in any of that horse shit.
Living your life as an artist.
Yeah, I am.
And
man.
You run a troupe, you coach them improv.
Yep.
You extend some joy.
That's why I just spread mirth and work on my passion and perform and laugh a lot. I hang out with my friends, people I love and adore. I'm with them all the time. It's good times, man. I quit my job 2 years ago to just do improv and coaching full time.
Mm-hmm.
Having a fucking blast, dude.
So do you have any shows you want to promote? Any Spectacles Improv?
Yeah, just check out spectaclesimprov.com. Definitely check out ocimprovfest.com. We're going to be running. By the time this airs, we'll have some great teams lined up.
Mm-hmm.
We already do. I just can't announce them, you know, just because I want to make sure they're confirming. But OC Improv Fest is going to be huge. We're bringing great acts from all over the country. We also teach classes on Fridays and Sundays. Fridays from noon to 3. Sundays from 3:30 to 5:30. All at Stages Theater. $10 gets you on Fridays 3 hours of training and Sundays 2 hours of training. It's much cheaper than going out to a movie, and I think way funnier. You'll laugh way more consistently. It's live theater, so I just think it's a way better experience to be live.
Mm-hmm.
To have people in front of you, it's more of an experience. And we're local, and yeah, good times.
Check it out. And also check out the Self-Indulgent Podcast.
Yeah.
Josh Nichols, a co-host on that. Crazy stuff.
So I put an ad on Craigslist that said, hey, my name is, and I spelled Nadie, Nadie, space Dee, and then, you know, rhymes with Lady B, you know, and I got some voicemails
Lady
here.
Lady B.
Listen, lady. Oh, baby, baby, I want to hurt my kid.
Oh, I can hear it. I love the slapping.
Anyway, yeah, thanks a lot for being the guest. It's been fun.
Yeah.
That's another episode of Highway Diary in the motherfucking bag. Check out Here Comes Godot. It's a web series that's going to drop around the time, maybe in a couple weeks after this airs. It's 16 episodes, a web series. I play this guy called Richard Wilson, who's an avant-garde theater director and stuff. It's finally getting done. Theater of the Deranged 2. It's a movie that comes out May 10th on DVD. There, it's like an anthology of short films, and I host as Damien Shadows. And click through the Amazon link and buy some stuff. Mm-hmm. If you didn't get it on Christmas, get it now through the Amazon link. The Highway Diary RSS feed. All right, later, guys.